Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Start the week off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs will go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you want to make sure you're over there and check it out. Swing by there occasionally just to see what else is going on. You just never know. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, and since it is Monday, I didn't go in and look ahead or anything to see if you'd put it in, Dan. It's your fantasy player and pitcher of the week. So I kind of think I knew who the pitcher was going to end up being just out of his lone outing. But, Play, you know, why don't you let us know who you went with this week?
Yeah, I forgot to update it, but I did write it down. My runner-up was Jimmy Nelson, because he went 1-0 with two quality starts and 21 strikeouts. And one earned run with no walk. I thought that was pretty big. But obviously going 2-0 this week with a no-hitter, Addison Volquez. Pretty good.
Yay. Yes, a big outing for Addison Volquez. And the player of the week was? Where's the drum roll? Oh, sorry.
I went with George Springer. Yeah, 10 runs.
Oh, okay.
4 home runs, 8 RBIs. He was pretty much up there. And then my runner-up was Lucas Duda.
Lucas. Oh. So we're going with George Springer and Edison Volquez this week. You'll have to remember to go in and enter those.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. So... and now I was telling Dan off air, you know, obviously if you listen to the Sunday podcast, Mr. Fantasy and I spend almost the complete time arguing about how to build a FanDuel lineup. So yesterday we set ours up. Now I do not know how he did, because I don't keep track of his when he's on with me. But obviously I put mine in, and even though Tanner Roark wasn't very good, he still managed to score 29 points for me. That game was just a slugfest. It ended 11-10. The rest of my lineup did pretty well, and I ended up with the lineup I did on air scoring 178.10 points. So that worked out. I actually had the aforementioned George Springer in my lineup, along with the money-saving Odubel Herrera, who put up 40.9 points for only $2,400. So that worked out. My negative was, since we were doing the contest online, on air, when I went to enter it, the league was already filled up. Well, I didn't want to lose the lineup, so I just threw it in a free one so I could keep track of it. And, of course, it went out and scored almost 180 points, and I probably would have won some money with it. So that's how that goes. But let's take a look at today. All right. Dan, I got to tell you, I went through this every which way but loose, and I think I hated just about every pitching matchup there was. I couldn't find a pitcher I liked. I couldn't come up with anybody. I pretty much was just stuffing names in a hat and drawing one out. And the big winner for me ended up being Junior Guerrero of the Brewers for $8,200. Pitching against the Giants tonight, I know the Giants have had issues hitting here and there. Of course, they did just get Hunter Pence back, so that should help their offense a little. But he was the only reasonably priced pitcher that I liked. So I'm going with him. Catching wise, I went with JT Realmuto of the Marlins. He's $3,000. Basically for the simple fact that in his career, he's 5 for 5 off of Eddie Butler, who's starting for the Cubs tonight. And $3,000 is a pretty reasonable price for a catcher. So I figured I might as well merge things back together and go with that. First base, I went with Yuri Gurriel of the Astros for $3,000. At the way the Astros are playing, it's pretty much good to have any of them in your lineup, but I wanted kind of a cheaper option, at least one. I have another Astro down the line. I got Cesar Hernandez at second base for the Phillies. He's leading off for them tonight. He's only $3,100. So I thought that was a pretty good value against Bartolo Colon. So I went that route. Third base, I have Derek Dietrich of the Marlins, who's only $2,600. He's hitting sixth for them tonight, and I wanted to get at least one Marlin in my lineup. But when I saw Dietrich at such a good value at 2,600, I figured I would go with two. I'm not really expecting Eddie Butler to no-hit anybody, so I think there's a good opportunity for the Marlins to put up some runs. Shortstop, I went with Alzmendez Diaz of the Cardinals for 3,100. I don't like the fact that he's in the 8 hole in their order, but I do like the fact that he's playing in Cincinnati, you know, obviously, and they're facing Adam Wojciechowski or whatever. Yeah, I don't think his first name's Adam, but it's Wojciechowski. So I think, obviously, it's a great hitter's park, and there's lots of opportunity to score there. So I'm hoping Diaz does something for me. And then my outfield rounds out George Springer. No surprise, he's in my lineup, $4,300. He was great for me yesterday. He hit 2 bombs. Obviously, I'm not expecting that again, but he's been hot. Then I went with Chris Davis of the Blue Jays for $4,000. He's in the cleanup spot. It's lefty-righty today. The Blue Jays are starting Jay Hop, so I think it's a good opportunity to plug Davis in. And then my last outfielder is Domingo Santana of the Brewers, who's just been super hot. He's $3,700, but he's up to the 2 spot in their lineup. So I'm actually happy with the lineup I put together. I just hate the pitching. So the quick review, Guerrero of the Brewers is my pitcher. Realmuto of the Marlins is my catcher. Gurriel of the Astros at first. Hernandez of the Phillies at second. Dietrich of the Marlins at third. Diaz of the Cardinals at short. And the outfield is Springer, Davis, and Santana. As always, well, this is today. It's the 6:10 main lineup where Dan and I are. So you still have a little time to piece your lineup together. There is rain in the forecast for the Phillies Atlanta game. So you may want to check that before you jump in on any type of lineup there. So did you throw something together, Dan, or are you taking the night off?
Putting my last guy in.
Yes, the fun part is trying to decide on who that last guy is going to be. Going, wait, I have this much money, and I have to find a guy for this spot, and, you know, I'm going to go with him. Yes, him, that guy right there. So, you know, and these are the make-or-break decisions. You know, like I said, I paid $2,400 for Odubel Herrera, and he was fantastic yesterday. You know, and then in other circumstances, you know, you pay big money for some of these other guys and they just don't produce.
Going for a second. I got kicked out.
Now you sound like Mr. Fantasy. That happens to him quite a bit. So.
Well, no, the league was full, so now I got it in another one.
Oh.
I kind of,
yeah.
I started off the same way you did with Kukera and then Realmuto, but I figured things have been pretty hot, so I want to see what's on tomorrow. And then I think I saved a little money on Jed Lowry at second base. Did I? All right, taking a little bit. Yeah, he was 2,600. Then I went, I'm doing a little Cincinnati, St. Louis, so I went Yurko, and then Cozart at short. Stanton in the outfield. Taking the risk on Fowler and then
Piscotty. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm looking at just the other pitching matchups, and obviously I like Carlos Martinez, but it's so tough to get behind anybody in Cincinnati. I mean, maybe he goes out and he throws a, you know, a three-hit shutout, but it's just as likely they put up 10 runs off him. So it's just hard to get behind a guy, you know, and I'm looking at some of the other names. I mean, I have Jeff Samardzija in our, you know, week-long yearly fantasy league, but pitching in Milwaukee, I just, it's so hard to get a call on him. I mean, he may strike out eight and give up eight runs with the way he's pitched. I mean, the other guys just looking, I mean, it's Jay Hopp for the Blue Jays. He was great last year. He's just coming off the DL. Sean Manna for the A's. It's Gio Gonzalez for the Nationals and Hyunjin Ryu for the Dodgers. I almost went with Mike Fiers just because, you know, the Astros may score 15 runs and he may get a win. So I almost went that route, but he was terrible last time out. He's facing Ian Kennedy tonight. I know Dan Straley has had his good outings, but, you know, the Cubs still have a fantastic offense. You couldn't have paid me to put Eddie Butler in my lineup. You know, there's just no way I'm going that route. Bartolo's pitching for the Braves. He's really struggled this year. And then it's Nick Pivetta for the Phillies. I didn't have anything there either. And then it was Asher Wojciechowski was the Reds pitcher. I think I called him Adam. So at least I had the A right. But, yeah, none of those names or people jumped out at me. I mean, I just couldn't find one. Like I said, I mean, if you want to, you know, if somebody spent on Martinez, I could understand that. You know, he's probably the best starter going tonight. Maybe if Hop is healthy, but you know, the fear of course is you may only get five innings out of him. So he may not put up enough numbers to get you, you know, enough points to do anything. So it's difficult. And again, you know, like I said, I could see backing Fiers thinking the Astros are going to score. There's absolutely nothing that says they won't. But yeah, I couldn't come up with anything. So I went with Guerrero pitching at home, hoping, you know, the Giants continue to have their offensive struggles.
Yeah, I went through it. I kind of felt like he was, you know, between him and Marja. But, you know, like you said, he could strike out 10 to 12 guys, but still give up 8 runs.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just the frightening thing about him. But, all right, I need your assistance here, Dan, because I just don't. What's the best way to describe it? I guess I'm kind of out of ways to explain this to people. Saturday, basically my day consisted of taking care of all my stuff in the morning. You know, I'm always up fairly early. I get the blog written. I make myself breakfast. Then I take care of anything else I need to get taken care of, be it errands or cleaning or whatever else I need to get done. I try to get it taken care of right away to give myself the rest of the day. Well, this Saturday, the rest of my day consisted of watching the Cubs-Cardinals game, checking in on the White Sox-Tigers, watching the Braves and the Reds, which was a fantastic extra-inning game. I actually started watching the Red Sox and the Orioles until you tweeted and reminded me that the hockey game was on. And, you know, and then I switched over to that. Of course, when that became a blowout, I went back to the Red Sox and Orioles. So the problem I keep having, Dan, is when I talk to, you know, other people, not you, and I can even include Mr. Fantasy in this list, when I'm watching out-of-market games, like I tweeted out, I basically thanked the Braves and the Reds for going extra innings because they gave me a little extra baseball. And it really was a very good game between, you know, two teams that probably aren't going to be in the playoffs. People don't understand how or why I watch these games because it's not the Cubs, it's not the Sox, it's not even the Brewers, you know, it's not anything local. And I'm kind of just out of ways to describe it to them without just basically telling them to shut up and leave me alone. You got any explanations that I can use? I mean, what do you tell people at this point?
Well, I mean, other people are into really bad reality TV, right? I mean, you watch your bad reality TV, and I'll watch baseball.
You know, yeah, it's just so weird because, like, a lot of times I get the, how do you watch that? Or, oh, I can't believe you're watching that. It's like, it's just baseball. It's the same thing as watching, you know, the Cubs, except it's two different teams. You know, and I mean, you know, let's face it, the Cubs haven't exactly been playing great baseball. So, you know, it just one of those, you know, odd situations. But, I, you know, I seem to be running into this, you know, more and more as, you know, time goes on. You know, like I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, I've been wearing, you know, my different baseball shirts to work. And, you know, one of the guys goes, oh, you know, you really like baseball. Yeah, okay, yeah, you kind of get that. Right? You figured it out. I have football and hockey stuff too, but that's besides the point. And, you know, it's like I would love to have, you know, any kind of baseball talk with somebody, but I don't know anybody besides you who just doesn't watch local teams. I don't really have anybody else to talk about except myself. And I've been trying to teach the cats baseball, but I'm just not sure if they're getting it.
Well, you'll laugh because I've been picking up extra hours at another job, and I'm sitting in front of a computer all day. And, you know, the cool thing about that, I don't get the sound, but I'm able to log into the MLB account. And, you know, you can obviously stream from the computer, but you get the quad view. And one of the girls I work with, they're like, what are you watching? I'm like, oh, baseball. They're like, well, which game are you watching? I'm like, the Red Sox, the Orioles, and then I think the Dodgers are playing. I don't know. I had four games going. They're like, how do you? I'm like, well, it's baseball. So, you know, not everyone pitches at the same exact time. You know, you can, I don't know, it's four views, so I get to watch all four at once. I wish they put eight. I would watch all eight if I could.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm, you know, yeah, you know, if there's anybody else out there who wants to be my friend that watches out-of-market baseball, I would gladly talk to you. Just email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. You know, it's just, you know, like I said, it's just strange. You know, I mean, I'll talk to people who don't realize that, you know, like Arizona even has a baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it, too, is, like you said, the locals. And the only reason they know anyone on the Cardinals is because Dexter Fowler plays there now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I know, obviously, the Cubs added a lot of fans last year by winning the World Series. You know, everywhere you look, everybody is a Cub fan now, even if they've, you know, never rooted for the team in their life or anything like that. And, you know, it can be tough, you know, because, you know, you'll start to talk to them or you'll go to ask them about it and you realize that they don't know, you know, even like them. Okay, well, you're a Cub fan. Well, you don't know anything besides last year's team because you jumped on the bandwagon when they were winning. So, you know, I mean, even when I attempt to discuss this with them, it kind of dead ends really quickly because, you know, again, there's people who don't realize that Jeff Samardzija was a Cub. You know, and it was kind of like, yeah, that's when they were bad, or that even Starlin Castro was on the team, you know, and that was just a couple years ago. So, I'm just kind of running out of patience or running out of friends, one of the two. I'm not quite sure where it is, but yeah, I'm running out of ways to describe it to people. I, you know, like I said, without being condescending or just a jerk or however else you want to look at it, I mean, I don't know what the hell to say to him anymore.
All right. Well, that's even when it comes to hockey. You know, over the last couple of years, I really picked up and really started to, not just because of the Blackhawks, but just the way the game is played. And even my mother-in-law is like, how are you watching the Predators game? Well, I'm like, it's a hockey game and it's the playoffs. So it's actually pretty awesome to watch. Just because I'm here in Chicago,
yeah,
a Blackhawks fan, doesn't mean you can't watch it.
Yeah, you know, and that was, you know, the weird thing, you know, I mean, it's kind of the usual thing, like, you know, I heard, you know, there's a one hardcore hockey fan I work with, and he mentioned something, I overheard his conversation with the guy he works right next to, and he was asking him if he had watched, it was game one at the time, and he asked him if he was watching game one, and the guy just turned to me and goes, no, he goes, I stopped watching the playoffs as soon as the Blackhawks got knocked out. You know, and it's like, okay, I get it. It's hockey. You know, there's a lot of that going on. You know, but baseball is a little more well-rounded sport. You know, I mean, we even went through it last year kind of with football season. You know, I mean, Mr. Fantasy kind of gave up on the season just because the Bears were so bad. You know, and it's just kind of like, you know, there's other teams, you know, there's other options to watch. I mean, you don't have to, you know, especially now, I mean, there's nothing wrong with rooting for your favorite team and watching another one. I mean, eventually your team may end up playing this other team, and wouldn't it be nice to at least know something about them?
Or Mike, the Bears, funny you brought that up. You know, like, in fact, wouldn't you like to know something about them? Well, they have an entire collection of wide receivers that have all pretty much passed their prime and all played with different teams. So everyone except for Kevin White is going to be new to the Bears fans, but, you know, been around for a while.
So, yeah, you know, and it's, you know, and obviously, you know, we know a little more about the Chicago teams because obviously, you know, we hear it, you know, all the time. I mean, it's all the talk and, you know, that's just kind of, you know, where you live. I mean, obviously that's what you're going to get. I mean, it's going to be, you know, like I'm sure in Cleveland, you know, all the talk right now is about the fact that the Cavaliers have been blown out twice. You know, so, and, you know, and, you know, Oakland there where Golden State is located, I'm sure all the talk is about them, you know, winning the first two games and if they're going to sweep. So, you know, it's just kind of the way things go. And, you know, here lately, I mean, even though the Cubs did just sweep the Cardinals, a lot of the talk is still, you know, what's wrong with this team or is this team going to get on track? So, you know, it's kind of what you deal with where, you know, the area you live in, of course, that team is going to take precedence. So, you know, I can kind of understand you only knowing more about that team than anybody else, but it's really not hard to find out information about other stuff, is it?
No, especially with this fancy new invention called the internet.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It was just, it just seemed to be that, you know, everybody I spoke to or ran into over the weekend just kept asking me why I was watching all these other games, you know, and it was like, I don't know what to tell you anymore. I really don't. So it just made me sad. Well, you know, and I'm waiting. I'm actually surprised, Dan. I know you'll get a chuckle out of this, but I'm assuming I probably upset Mr. Fantasy. You know, we share our Money League team, and he's been so busy at work, he hasn't been able to go in and make the changes, and I've been managing it and make sure we're up to date. Well, yesterday was drop ad day, so, you know, we had some guys to shuffle around, you know, like we had been using Christian Arroyo and the Giants sent him to the minors, and then I think Alberto Almora was one of our later picks. I wanted to grab him because I thought he was going to get some playing time, but it didn't work out. So, you know, we had a couple guys to drop, and I noticed going through the drop ads that somebody had dropped Hunter Pence when he got hurt. So I put him in as our top claim, and I don't think Mr. Fantasy is going to be too happy when I did that. And then to make it worse, I added him right into our starting lineup for this week. So it's going to be interesting when he sees it. I may actually hear from him during the week. Lately, the only time I've actually spoken to him has been on Sundays doing the podcast. Otherwise, I haven't heard from him. So I thought it was a good move. I mean, I would trade Hunter Pence for Alberto Lamora. I don't know how he's going to see it. So it will be quite interesting.
Oh, I'm sure he'll hate it.
So, you know, and he can't be too mad at me because we did win all three of our games last week, all three of our matchups. And, you know, we should have won the other one, though, the week, but 2 weeks before that, we had a, for whatever reason, it didn't take my changes. So we ended up playing two guys on the DL, and we got our you know, obviously our butts handed to us. And when I, you know, I called him because, you know, these are all the guys he knows. I'm like, hey, you know, they've got to fix this for us. And, you know, of course, they didn't do anything, and we just had to eat the three losses. So I was like, hey, great, thanks, guys. That's nice. So.
Yeah, well, I wish it was one of those weeks where you forgot to change your lineup in our Yahoo.
So, yeah, you know, we'll see. Yeah, that was you and I matched up last week. I know I just happened to be on the team. I got a 17-7 win. I have to figure out, you know, since Hunter Pence is back, I have to drop somebody to get him back on the DL, and I just got to figure out who's going away for me now. So I'll have to sit down and take a look at the team. And then the other, I wanted to look at our other league because I had a, it was funny. I was playing you in the Snake League and then Mr. Fantasy in the Auction League. And he was destroying me during the week, but I hadn't had any starts. And I got five starts over the weekend, and we ended up being tied 12-12. So
I did get lucky on one. This really helped give me a couple points. When I started Tie Black on Saturday, having him in both leagues, then he got a complete game shutout.
Yeah, boy, he had a great outing. Jeez.
I was just hoping to get the inning, you know, more than anything.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I've used him a time or two in FanDuel, but I haven't, you know, obviously my, for whatever reason, my starting pitching ended up being pretty loaded this year. I don't know how I managed to do that, just dumb luck. So I haven't really been searching or, you know, looking for starters. So.
Yeah, well, I dropped one and threw a no hitter. So big.
Yeah. Hey, I traded that guy to you, so it didn't say much for me. Well, you know, just kind of how the game goes sometimes. So, you know, I'm gonna have to get back to that. So,
do you think he is gonna pick his game up now, or just gonna kind of come back down to earth?
Well, you know, it's so weird because he had been, you know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, he had been terrible. You know, I mean, there, like, even when you dropped him, I was like, well, yeah, you know, I understand that. I mean, he has just been, you know, ridiculously bad. And yeah, it was just, you know, kind of, you know, more of a surprise than anything when I saw it. I mean, I didn't even really check in on the game. You know, normally if there's something going on, I'll jump in or jump on and be like, okay, well, you know, let's watch this and see what's going on. But I never expected it out of him. I mean, even looking, you know, with the no hitter, he's still just 2-7. You know, the no-hitter helped him get his ERA under 4. He's now 3.79. So, it, you know, with the exception of that, he hasn't really been lights out. You know, maybe this helps him get back a little bit to normal. Maybe he figured out what he was doing wrong, you know, and he made an adjustment. But I don't think he's going to go out and, you know, continue to shut teams down.
Yeah, No, and I mean, kind of sticking with Miami, but not really, because the Cubs are going to be down there. You know, I kind of was thinking about the way the lineup was and how the numbers really aren't where they should be. And, you know, I mean, I get it.
Oh, you either muted yourself or you just broke up because I can't hear you anymore. Well, I hope it's not me again. Oh, yeah, it was Dan. It was Dan this time. We were lucky. Okay, we'll wait for Dan to get reset as we, you know, we look for some stuff. But, yeah, you know, like he was talking about Miami, and I heard a really – I don't know if you'd want to call it interesting. If you're a Marlins fan, it's probably not interesting at all. But the fact that the people who are looking to buy the team don't like the amount of debt that the Marlins are carrying, and they're talking about possibly trading some really big name players, including Giancarlo Stanton. So that, you know, I mean, if you're a Marlins fan, I mean, you've got to be literally beside yourself. I mean, they signed the guy to a monster deal. They were going to build around him, and now, you know, there's talk of moving him and Christian Yelich and Marcell Ozuna, and I even heard Realmuto, just because they're looking to try to start slashing some payroll so they can sell the team. You know, and I know the Marlins don't have many fans as it is. I don't think they can afford to lose many. Dan, if you're a team looking to make a trade, are you salivating if the Marlins are going to be dumping some of these guys?
I mean, I'm going after Yelich or Giancarlo, definitely.
Yeah, you know, the report, you know, the reason it was more credible is because I heard Ken Rosenthal give it, and I know he's normally, you know, right on with his stuff. It appears with Stanton's contract, they would probably have to wait to do a deal like that during the off season because it would be overly complicated. But, you know, Yelich just signed a deal. It might have been a year or two ago. You know, Realmuto and Ozuna are still in arbitration, but they're in the upper edges of it to where they make a little more money. You know, yeah, I mean, if, you know, if you're a team looking for catching help, Realmuto's a really good young catcher. You know, he could be a fantastic ad for you and catch for you the next 5 or 6 years. You know that they don't have most of their pitching is veteran. I don't know if, you know, maybe down the road you could move a Wei Ying Chin to a contender who's looking for a 4 or 5 starter, or even a Volquez if he gets it straightened out. And, you know, Dan Straley was terrible until he got to Cincinnati last year. So you have to see how he works out, but, you know, Dan, I mean, the Marlins, they don't really draw as it is. If they make this move, are they just, you know, how many people are going to show up?
No one shows up as it is.
Yeah.
So much less that, you know, Jeb Bush backed out of it. So I think Jeter's going to have to call up A-Rod and be a field partner up, start the group together.
Yeah, I heard, I think it was the Marlins the other day with their attendance figure, they had actually sold, I want to say it was 15,000 tickets to the game, but there were all of about 1,000, you know, between 1,000 and 2,000 people actually in the stadium. So, I mean, just imagine how empty that place must have looked. But oddly, you know, and again, this is just ticket sales wise. They're actually ahead of Oakland and Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay is only at 14,718. Oakland is at 17,259. And then the Marlins averaged 20,507. So, you know, and that's compared to the Dodgers, who are on top, averaging 44,637 people per game.
A lot of people.
So, yeah. Yeah. you know, just one of, you know, one of those, you know, odd situations. But yeah, I guess you've got to, you got to be knocking on their door, right? If they're looking to, you know, to move some guys, especially some of those top guys, you know, you want to be right there, don't you?
Yeah, well, you got to wonder if the prospecting really makes a difference going down there.
Well, yeah, that was part of the report, was they were talking about how Miami has one of the lowest rated minor league systems. So what they're looking to do, of course, is if they deal these guys, they're going to look for prospects in return. So that's basically they're selling off, you know, these guys to get the, to build up their minor league system, which for whatever reason seems to be the way to do it.
But I mean, has that theory truly worked?
Well, you know, it worked for the Cubs last year, and it looks like it's working for the Astros this year. You know, you've just got to know when to add, you know, when to go out and spend your money. You know, the Cubs knew they had to go get starting pitching. You know, so they went out and they got the John Lesters, and, you know, they got the John Lackey. And, you know, the Astros knew what they were missing. You know, last year, you know, they learned. So, you know, they added, you know, veterans. They added the Josh Reddick, Carlos Beltran, Brian McCann, you know, those type of players into the mix. And even Charlie Morton had been pretty, you know, he'd been decent for him until he got hurt. So, you know, when you get to that point, you know, you've got to make the, you know, you've got to know to make that decision. And, you know, it'll be interesting with, you know, some of these other teams, because, you know, we're watching the Reds and the Brewers go through it, and now the White Sox, you know, are they going to know when to add, or, you know, in some cases, will they have the money to spend to go add that player they need, you know, which is, of course, you know, going to be a big deal, or else you're kind of stuck in anonymity there. Yeah, I still didn't say it right, but it was close. You know, you're just kind of hanging out in the middle going, yeah, okay, great. We've got all this young talent and I can't get the pieces I need to finish it. So let's deal it off and redo it again, which is almost what the Marlins are doing. So.
Yeah. Well, I think it fell apart with Wade Chen kind of falling out.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Obviously losing Jose Fernandez like they didn't help. You know, I mean, there's just, you know, you can't predict that. There's nothing you can do about that. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those things that sadly happened. But, you know, we're talking about dealing guys. You know, Realmuto is 26 years old. You know, Ozuna's 26 as well. Stanton's only 27. Yelich is 25. So it's, you know, it's not like we're dealing these grizzled veterans like, you know, like the Sox dumped, you know, over the off season. You know, Adam Eaton wasn't, you know, I think Adam Eaton was 30, you know, so you move him along, you know, guys like this. Or when the Astros shut it down, you know, they dumped everybody, you know, the Cubs moved a lot of their older guys, just to sign Edwin Jackson, who I believe got a contract with the Nationals. So I was excited about that. But yeah, I mean, you're going to move what? You're going to move 26, 20, 25, 26 and 27 year old guys for 19, 20 and 21 year old guys. Is that the way it works now?
Pretty much.
So I, you know, like they've got their one young prospect is up right now. JT Riddle at shortstop. He's only 25, you know. Do you keep him? Is he part of the rebuilding process, or does he go with these other guys who are the same age? I mean, you've got to assume that means a guy like D. Gordon and Justin Bour, who are both 29, are out. And then what the hell do you do with the 43-year-old Ichiro?
You keep him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so it's just yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just kind of, you know, kind of shaking my head. I mean, literally, the talk is about the Marlins dealing their entire starting outfield. I don't think I remember a team ever doing that.
No, well, you know, maybe they'll help if they can get a bunch of Garcia.
Yeah, like the White Sox have. Just go out and get guys named Garcia. So, you know, it's just like, okay, great. You know, and I know obviously you're looking to sell the team, and I mean, this kind of falls into where baseball becomes a business. But, man, I just, you know, I mean, if I'm looking to buy this team, I'm not going to walk in and say, oh, yeah, by the way, you got to trade your, you know, your three of probably your four best players or, you know, four of your five best players before I even look to buy the team.
Well, I mean, potentially, does that lower the selling price on the team?
You know, what I heard is it's not the selling price. What they're worried about is the amount of debt the team is carrying with the contracts they have. You know, because obviously Stanton's contract is huge and it goes on forever. You know, and that's part of the problem. You know, Wei Ying Chin got a really good deal to come there. He hasn't been much help. He's been hurt most of the time. And I don't know if they're, you know, who else they're really stuck with or contracted to. You know, those are a couple of their bigger deals. That was the main concern was, you know, the team debt. So.
Is that why Gush kind of dropped out?
You know, they didn't really admit or say why he dropped out, so no one really knows, but you wonder if maybe that had something to do with it. So here's what they're carrying. I had to go over to good old Sport Track to find out. Obviously Stanton is their highest paid player. He makes $14.5 million. Then it's Volquez at $9 million. D Gordon makes 7.8. Brad Ziegler at 7. AJ Ramos at 6.55. And then like Marcell Ozuna and Christian Yelich both make $3.5 million. So, you know, those are some of the higher priced guys on the team. I wonder if they don't have Wei Ying Chin. I wonder if, cause he's injured and technically, yeah, here he is. Yeah. Chin makes 11.6. Martin Prado makes 11.5. I didn't realize he was being paid that much. So, they're, you know, a couple of the other higher paid guys who happen to be on the DL right now. We'll.
And how long are,
you know, we'll see.
Yelich
and then
contract.
Yelich is signed for, what was it? Four. Let me double check it here. They're also still paying part of Fernando Rodney's contract. So. Come on, internet, don't let me down now. I know we've had some problems the last few days, but jump over there and tell me what Yelich has got. Go. He is signed through 2022.
I mean,
so while this year while he's only making 3.5, it doubles next year and it goes to 7. Million, then it's 9.75, 12.5, 14, and 15 million to round out the contract.
Wow.
So the 2022, the $15 million year does have a $1.25 million buyout. So if you wanted to let him go, he could actually be a free agent in 2022 if you wanted to buy him out. So. Yeah, that's where Yelich is at with them. But you know, other than that, I don't think a lot of these guys. It's just Stanton and Yelich with the long-term deals. You know, I don't think a lot of these guys. Like, I think Volquez's deal is just for this year. It looks like D Gordon is still in arbitration. You know, Ziegler's on a one-year deal. You know, I know Ozuna's still in arbitration, so a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of these salaries are going to be coming off the books. You know, I think Chen, let me double check his, I thought he signed a 4-year deal, but let me see what he's got here when it jumps up for me. He signed through 2021, so he's got, yeah, he's got, yeah, 4 more years on that deal. So that, yeah, he signed, yeah, 5 years, $80 million when he signed with them, before last season. So that really hasn't worked out for them yet. But yeah, talk about escalation. Here you go, Dan. He's making 11.6 this year. It jumps to 12.6 next year. Then in 2019, it goes to 22.6. 2020, it goes to 24.6. And he can get $16 million in 2021, but he's got to reach some options in his 2020 contract for that to become vested. But yeah, can you imagine Wei Ying-Chin making over $20 million? He'll be 33 and 34 when that part of the contract kicks in.
Good for him.
Yeah, you know, and you know, again, it's one of those things where I never ever want to seem like I'm down on a guy for getting his money, you know, because the team doesn't force him to take this money. You know, and somebody mentioned that about Albert Pujols, and I want to get to him with you in a minute. But, you know, like Chen didn't go into a bank with a mask on and say, give me this money. The Marlins offered it to him. They negotiated this. But, yeah, I definitely think if you're looking to break down some salary, he's a guy you may be looking to find a take for. Even if you got to pay a little bit of it, it might be worth to move the majority of that if somebody's willing to take that off your hands. But, yeah, that's kind of where the Marlins are at. So, but yeah, you know, like I mentioned Pujols, Dan, and obviously, you know, he hit his 600th home run over the weekend, you know, a huge milestone. And it's not really being celebrated, I guess you could say, like I thought it might be. You know, I mean, this is one of the greatest players of his era. You know, and obviously he's not the same player he was in St. Louis, but at that time he was probably the best player in the game.
Yeah.
Why did it just kind of take a back burner? I actually heard somebody, and I want to know if this is what you think, somebody kind of mentioned that since we're so sabermetrically in debt to baseball now and the home run doesn't mean as much, that him hitting 600 isn't a big deal. And by the way, if I'd have known who said that, I would have probably just punched him in their face because it's a huge margin to reach. But that's, you know, that's just my opinion.
Well, I think that, and I think the other part is he plays on Mike Trout's team, not the Angels. Yeah. Mike Trout's team.
Yes, well, it is Mike Trout's team, so you know, because we're, you know, and right away, of course, the second thing they said is the fact that, you know, it was because he signed the big contract. Well, again, they didn't force him to sign that contract. They offered it to him. they didn't try to hold him down or point a gun at him and say, hey, Albert, you got to sign this contract. They offered it to him. So,
I didn't mean big contract or not. I think part of it is he kind of hasn't lived up to it. But the other part is he's not a Red Sox or a Yankee. Because you remember how big of a deal they made out of A-Rod home runs, even though no one really even liked them anymore.
Yeah, now the funny thing about that, I'm glad you brought that comparison up. A-Rod, who was a convicted, admitted, however you want to look at it, steroid cheat, they showed every at-bat while he was chasing his milestone. Now Pujols, a guy who never really has been accused. I know there was a really minor kind of out of the box guy who had made some accusations, but they got shot down really quickly. Nothing's ever came up with Pujols like this throughout his career. You know, A-Rod had a gigantic contract. The only reason he put up numbers as he got older was because he was cheating. you know, otherwise you wonder, you know, we saw what his numbers were like when he wasn't on anything, you know, and yet here's Pujols, who is clean, has been nothing but a good Samaritan for the game, and we ignore him like it doesn't matter.
Well, they love the controversy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just how wrong is that, though? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, this guy's a, you know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer when his name comes on the ballot. You know, A-Rod should never be, you know, they shouldn't even let A-Rod in the door if he comes to visit the Hall of Fame. You know, it's just one of those things. And yet, you know, here's a guy, well, you know, so he hit 600 home runs. So what? He's got this big contract. Who cares about the contract? He just hit 600 home runs in the majors. So, you know, and as long as that deal's for, so go ahead.
Well, I mean, when Trout is up for his deal and he signs a 10-year, you know, $50 million a year deal, he gets close to that number, they'll make a big deal about it.
You know, the scary part is he has 4 more years on this contract. There's a chance he gets to 700 in an Angel uniform. Hmm. You know, because you got to figure, you know, you figure he's going to hit probably, as long as he's healthy, 15 or 20 more this season. Maybe if it's really good, he hits 25 more. To get 75 over 4 years for Albert Pujols isn't that big a deal. Again, as long as he stays relatively healthy. You know, I know he's had a lot of problems with that foot, and you got to figure as you're getting older, it's not going to get better. So, yeah, I mean, he could easily legitimately join the 700 club with home runs. And, yeah, it's just kind of frightening that it's like, yeah, you know, well, you know, it's not really sabermetrically relevant that he just hit 600 home runs. Like, well, he just hit 600 home runs in the major leagues. There's, what is it, 7 or 8 other guys who have done that, and this doesn't matter.
Well,
wow, Dan, I'm watching. Yeah, I'm definitely in the minority here. I mean, this is a huge deal to me.
Well, I mean, if his WAR was 100 with it, then I think it would have been a big deal.
So yeah, I was just kind of shaking my head when I was listening to these guys, and I you know, again, it's one of those things that I just I don't understand. But all right, let's get on to this, Dan. It's game 4 tonight. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals. The Predators, man, they were awesome in game 3. I mean, they went home and that place was rocking. You know, Dan, it's the only rink that I've seen that reminds me of the old Chicago Stadium. Not the United Center where the Blackhawks play now, but the actual old Chicago Stadium. When it just gets rocking like that and it's that loud and, you know, just unbelievable. But what I really noticed that I didn't see in the first two games, Dan, good Lord, were the Predators just so much more physical than the Penguins. And I think the Penguins have to find a way to counteract that a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, why did it take them 2 games then to get to Nashville to really – turn that side of their game back on?
Nerves, maybe? I don't know. You know, maybe they didn't think they were going to need it. It's just kind of, you know, you wonder what goes through a guy's head, or maybe they thought maybe being in Pittsburgh, they would get called for more penalties if they played like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I mean, I watched, you know, until it got a little bit out of hand there late, I watched the majority of that. And I mean, literally, they were killing the Penguins. I mean, every chance they had to hit the lay on a Penguin, they did. And they did such a better job on defense than they did in game one and two. You know, I know we don't delve into hockey stats and all that fun stuff, Dan, but do you know that Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin didn't even have a shot on goal in game three between the two of them? You know, and Crosby is, you know, considered one of the best, if not the best player in the game. And, you know, Malkin is probably, you know, he's top 10. Some people may have him in the top five. Not a shot on goal at all. You know, and obviously the Nashville goaltending controversy went away really quick, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I loved earlier that day I was at a gas station who had pregame on, and someone asked the coach, you know, who are you going with both? And he just said, next question. I was dying laughing when I heard that.
I wish you would have said, that's a clown question, bro. But, you know, that didn't happen. So,
yeah.
You know, just one of those, you know, one of those things. But, you know, like even in the two Pittsburgh wins, you know, Crosby doesn't have a goal yet. He does have three assists. But, you know, he's yet to score. It's really been Jake, and I'm going to probably butcher his last name because it's a hockey name. But I'm going with Gunsel, you know, who has put up, what's he got? He's got 13 goals. I think he's on the verge of tying the rookie record in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really been carrying the Penguins scoring, which is, you know, interesting. And you wonder as a rookie if he can keep that up. You know, that's a huge burden and a bit of a grind for a rookie. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, man, I mean, yeah, it was just I really enjoyed watching the game. And again, I'm going to leave the, you know, the Blackhawks weren't playing in it part alone. I know the Blackhawks weren't playing. But yeah, you know, it was just, it was really interesting to watch the way the Predators handled them. And, you know, I know in wrestling, Dan, I'm sure you've heard it. You've heard the term, you know, men against boys and stuff like that. When a guy is just getting squashed and he's getting dominated by a bigger opponent. That's really what I felt like. The Predators just looked like men wiping the Penguins out on every check. And it was, I was just shocked with the way it went down.
No, but like you said, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. You know, even though my team lost, you know, I have the Penguins in our bet. You know, I've been enjoying the Predators hockey, you know, except when they mopped off the Blackhawks in that first series. Other than that, I've been enjoying what they do. But, yeah, it was impressive for a Stanley Cup final against a team like Pittsburgh, just the way they went out there. Now, it'll be interesting to see if they can do it again. But, man, yeah, I mean, for that one game, I mean, they looked like the Nashville team I thought they were going to look like. And, you know, my fear now, Dan, is just that they're just relaxed and this is how they're going to play the rest of the way. Which I know Dan is hoping for. So, all right, well, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again, and we'll see if the Predators play that way or not tonight. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going over there. Hit the link, follow it over to the SportsTime Radio Facebook page. Give that a like, please. We'd appreciate it. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTime Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you need us. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can go in and listen to the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
SportsTime Radio. Yeah.